Maitreya Vacha Atha Vistuta Evam Vai Shat Sankalpena Dhimata Vrityanu Rakta Bhagavan Pratinandedam Abravit Maitreya Uvacha. Maitreya said, Atha, then, Abhistuta, being worshipped, Evam, thus, Vai, certainly, Tat Sankalpena, disposed towards devotees. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Pratye Andhya, having congratulated him, Idam, this, Abravit, said, translation, the great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, when Dhruva Maharaj, who had good intention in his heart, finished his prayers, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees and servants, congratulated him, speaking as follows. So there's no purport to that verse, so I'm going to read the next verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Vedaham Te Pyavyasitam Hridi Rajanya Balaka Tat Prachayami Bhadram Te Durapam Api Subrata. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Personality of Godhead said, Veda, no, Aham, I, Te, your, Bhavashitam, determination, Hridi, within the heart, Rajanya Balaka, O son of the king, Tat, that, Prayachami, I shall give you, Bhadram, all good fortune, Te, unto you, Durapam, although it is very difficult to obtain, Api, in spite of, Shubrata, one who has taken a pious vow. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Lay Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Personality of God has said, my dear Dhruva, son of the king, you have executed pious vows, and I also know the desire within your heart. Although your desire is very ambitious and very difficult to fulfill, I shall favor you with its fulfillment. All good fortune unto you. Purport, the Lord is so merciful to his devotee that he immediately said to Dhruva Maharaj, let there be all good fortune for you. The fact is that Dhruva Maharaj was very, very much afraid in his mind, for he had aspired after material benefit in discharging his devotional service, and this was hampering him from reaching the stage of love of God. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:44, it is said, Bhagasharya Pasaktanam, those who are addicted to material pleasure cannot be attracted to devotional service. It was true that at heart Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom that would be far better than Brahmaloka. This was a natural desire for a Kshatriya. He was also only 5 years old, and in his childish way, he desired to have a kingdom far greater than his father's, grandfather's, or great-grandfather's. His father, Uttanapad, was the son of Manu, and Manu was the son of Lord Brahma. Dhruva wanted to excel all these great family members. The Lord knew Dhruva Maharaj's childish ambition, but he was it possible to offer Dhruva a position more exalted than Lord Brahma? The Lord assured Dhruva Maharaj that Dhruva would not be bereft of the Lord's love. He encouraged Dhruva not to be worried that he childishly had material desires, and at the same time he had the pure aspiration to be a great devotee. Generally, the Lord does not award a pure devotee material opulence, even though he may desire it. Dhruva Maharaj's case was different. The Lord knew that he was such a great devotee that in spite of having material opulence, he would never be deviated from love of God. This example illustrates that a highly qualified devotee can have the facility of material enjoyment and at the same time execute love of God. This, however, was a special case for Dhruva Maharaj. So, as the story goes, this is the great example of Dhruva Maharaj, and he is one should always consider him as the greatest devotee. Like Prabhupada has been explaining here in this purport, even though he had material desire, actually material desire, he can start from a small desire to big desire. When he want, we just want some place to stay, some home, something small. But Dhruva Maharaj has wanted a universe, a planet. That's a big material desire. That's not easy. That's why Krishna himself said, it's difficult for me to fulfill your desire, because he's going to have to give him a universe. I mean, you can ask Krishna for, you know, a small place, a piece of land. But Dhruva Maharaj wanted a universe. He wanted a planet. And actually that's the right person to go to, because Krishna can give that. If we don't go to somebody and ask for, can you give me a universe? Because they don't have it. You know, we can give you a car, a place to stay, a small place. But only Krishna can give you an universe. Because everything is coming from Krishna. He is the cause of all causes. He is the source of all material and spiritual world. Lord Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean, and millions of universes coming out of his body. Like the mustard seed. If you ever spill mustard seed, work in the kitchen, we sometimes a handful of mustard seed goes all over the floor, it's millions, some thousands of pieces, you can't pick it up. So it's mentioned that millions of universes coming out of the body of Mahavishnu. So he can just give one universe to Dhruva Maharaj, not a problem. It's like picking up one mustard seed. Here you go. So Krishna is so opulent. But at the same time, the devotees know that, you know, Krishna can give everything. The other day on Sunday, we were leading a kirtan here on Sunday, there was piles of rice here, like a godown. In front of the Didi, you can hardly see the Didi because all this rice stacked up. People donate, you know, on Sunday. And I remember I used to live at the manor in UK. And people bring ghee. You know, they have this ghee here. And then when they drive, so they open the back boot, ghee and big bags of rice. So they never have to buy anything. And when you're cooking for the Didi, there's so much. So that what they do, they get all this butter surpluses from the government, and they melt all this butter, truck full of butter. They melt it, make it into ghee, put it in a bucket like we have, and they sell it to the devotees. Back to the, there's so much ghee, so it's so opulent. Krishna is not. Sometimes people say God is Daridranayan. He is very poor. That's nonsense. God is the most opulent. And He's the owner of all the wealth. He's the owner of all the wealthy people. So God, if we go to Krishna for something small, we don't want. We go to Krishna for a big thing. He gives us a universe, but not everyone goes to Krishna for a universe. Usually people want a beautiful wife or a beautiful husband, a handsome husband, and a big, better bank balance, you know, material things. But it's okay. As long as you go to Krishna. Well, Krishna has his ways to purify us in time. Just like I'm teaching yoga, and we emphasize on making white people devotees. That's what they told me. So after we finish the yoga, I try to talk to the people, and And so there's one guy, he's very inclined to Krishna consciousness. But every time he's telling me he has so many desires. He wants to go to now China and learn Chinese language at a university in Beijing. So I said, it's a very dangerous place. You go alone, and so you can go there, but you need to be connected to the devotees. My idea is to make him a devotee. So I said, you can go there, and connect with the devotees, you'll feel very comfortable. The devotees will take care of you. So maybe the devotees there will make him a devotee there. So we have so many desires, but Krishna, he knows us more than we know ourselves, so he can purify us. So we can go to Krishna for material things. That's okay. But it's not okay, but as long as you go to Krishna, instead of going to Shiva or Brahma or Durga, you can go to Krishna. And here, devotees usually, our heart is to desire love for Krishna. Purest desire is love for Krishna. How to serve Krishna? How to improve our service to Krishna? That should be our desire. But along the line, so many desires come. Just like if you have the tulsi plant, you buy the tulsi plant or take it from us and bring it home, and so many weeds come. When you plant the seed, along the plants, it's mentioned that the weeds come, that the weeds are like the desires. They choke our devotional creeper. You have to pull out the weeds. And if you give it too long to pull out, it gets very hard. Because the roots gets deeper and deeper. And you need professional to pull out the weeds. So, you have to check yourself. Before your desire can get really big and big, you need to check yourself. That what to desire, what is the right desire for us to desire from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to say, even if you have a desire to eat a gulab jamun, you cannot go back to Godhead. Because that's the material desire. There's not enough of it here, there's so much sweets and so much prasadam, you still want a gulab jamun. If you go back to Godhead, there's an ocean full of gulab jamun there, but nobody wants to eat it, because they are so busy serving Krishna. They take pleasure in serving Krishna. There are wonders, material things. That's what we have to aspire for. Our aspiration to develop that love for Krishna, that overtaking any material pleasures of life. What's the material? If you don't have material, the body we have, this material body, is gift of Krishna. Krishna's gift. So, material pleasures in this material world, it's small time. Real pleasure is spiritual pleasure. Just like we're chanting, dancing in here. It's so much more happiness than just doing a few hours of rock and roll, in the clubs. Let them come and see how much we're enjoying Krishna consciousness. There's no comparison with this mundane happiness. They came and saw us singing and dancing in this temple early in the morning, at 4:30 in the morning, and then now, while they're still sleeping, from all the material absorption the night before. And we don't have any problem with getting up early chanting. It's wonderful. Sometimes you can't sleep anyway, just get up and come here. So, material pleasure is no pleasure. Futile endeavor. Prabhupada says, futile endeavor. You work so hard, and work, like a fena. You heard of the word fena? Fena means foaming at the mouth. Pa, fa, va, pa, ma. Prabhupada explains this. There are Sanskrit words. Pa, fa, va, va, ma. You heard that before? Like A, B, C, D, like that. Pa, fa, va, va, ma. Sanskrit. So he says pa for parishram. Parishram means working very hard, laboring. Pa fa. Fa means fena. He works so hard he foam at the mouth. Pa fa. I mean, in Melbourne I haven't seen anyone foaming at the mouth. But they wipe it off quickly, maybe. they form it at the mouth in their mind. Pa, fa, ba, ba was ba, vaya, full of fear. You see, Monday morning, people are so full of fear. They're like, oh, they're not even talking to anybody. So quiet. It's out of fear. It's all full of fear. So, pa, fa, ba, bha, ma. Abha, bha is fear, bhaya, and ma. Finally, death. Pa, fa, ba, bha, ma. Right? Mritu means death. Mritu. Finally, death. So, devotees, we know what gives us the highest pleasure. Everyone's together, when we come together and say, Jaya Sachinandana, Gaura Hari, hands up in the air. Why we give our hands in the air? We surrender to Krishna. Krishna, I'm yours. Please take me at your lotus feet. Wow, we feel so good. That is the highest pleasure of a devotee. When you have the hands in the air, chanting Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Prabhupada. Like we take, when the offering is done, we take the offering plate to the kitchen. Sometimes I take two plates. And I'm saying to myself, another arm, I take three plates. Sometimes devotees do so much service, you can't imagine. A mundane person cannot do. When your time's up, they hit the road, they go home immediately. They're not going to be there one more minute. They have to pay them. And here we get up 4:30 in the morning. Who works that early? By the time we take pusharam, we've already worked. We've been up so long. But what makes us do those service because of spiritual pleasure? We feel happy doing it. We never say, oh God, here you go. As soon as you open the door, when you come in here, you feel, wow, Vaikuntha. There's just so much pleasure here. That's spiritual pleasure. Material pleasure is different. You want material pleasure, you have to work for it. And then there is so much hardship. Comes package, hardship. You want to go material world? Go down there. Down, down, down in the material world. Birth, death, old age, disease. Welcome to the material world. Here we are. That's what it is, actually. Wake up. What am I doing here? Krishna is playing in his flute. He said, come to me. And I said, Maya, Nara, come to me. Tug of war. Well, go to Krishna or Maya. So Dhruva Maharaj is exemplifying here. He wanted the universe. You come to me for a universe, I can't give you a universe. I can give you under $20. A little bit more. Or you go to somebody rich. But Krishna can't give you a universe. I mean, I go to Krishna, if I have some desire, I'll ask him. I never ask Krishna to give me a universe, because it's too big. That's what Krishna said. That's too difficult to fulfill his desire. He wanted so much. It's too much to give him. A universe. But Krishna can give. No problem. Krishna gave him the Dhruva star, right? Dhruva Loka. A planet. So God is so rich. Krishna is so rich. A planet. And like Melbourne's getting very crowded. The local people are getting worried. Because the Chinese are buying up the land and houses and businesses. The locals are getting worried. They say Australia's full now. When you go down the road, like up the road or Milton, a pass, it's full of land. Everyone's crowded up in the middle of the city. But you go out, there's so much land there. And it's Melbourne's tiny place. You look at the whole universe, the whole creation is huge. We have no idea. We know that the universe is so big because it explains it. Or in Australia, the whole planet, the whole world, because they have a map of it. Because nobody went around with a measurement and checking it how big it is. They don't have idea is how big it is. We don't know so many things, so big. So they are very crowded. So spiritual world is so big. It's mentioned when Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. His little finger, you know, lifted the Govardhan hill 7 days, seven nights. Can anyone do that here? Everyone, can you? Yeah. Krishna was your age and he lifted the Govardhan hill 7 days, seven nights. I can't even lift this cup of water with a little finger. First of all, it's not going to balance. And even I drank the water, it's empty. It's lighter. Even then I can. 7 days, seven nights to go to the toilet. Night time to sleep, change clothes, have a shave, brush teeth. 7 days, seven nights. How you can do it? I can't imagine it. And everybody in there, and all the people in Vrindavan, so many people. Krishna had 1 million cows. That's so big, the hill of 1 million cows. And all the gopis and the gopis, you know, all the people. So many people. All the whole Melbourne put together, even more. Can you put 1 million cows in this temple? Krishna can do it. And nobody under the hill got tired. They just felt like completely satisfied, like being in a 5-star hotel. Ekdam aram. Like, I remember I was going to Rishikesh from Delhi. I got in the bus, going to do yoga training. Yeah, very comfortable sitting there. And all of a sudden the bus broke down, just 5 minutes after we left the port. So there was the guy said, everybody get out, wait for the next bus. So next bus, everyone was already full. It's not like here, they give you a completely empty bus. Everyone just got in, and I had no seat all the way to Rishikesh from Delhi, 6 hours. I can't even chant my rounds because it was so crowded, I couldn't move. I just let go of myself, like completely surrender. So if they push me this way, that way, I'm just floating in the air. 6 hours. Could you imagine? Everyone said, all the people said, ah, Aram Sabet here. Just take it easy. Just relax. They're not bothered by it. So, actually, people in India are very God conscious. There's so much material suffering, but they're not bothered by it. They just say, ah, Aram. Koi baat nahi. Just take it easy. Be happy. They're not worried. There's millions of people. You get in the train, there's no door in Mumbai. You just get in, and when you get out, you just flow with the people. Drop down on the platform. Everyone pushes you out, like giving you birth. It's so hellish. But people are okay. People dying every day. There's not in the newspaper. because there's so many people, there's no counting. They just throw the body in the Ganges. Back to Godhead, Prabhu. They burn it. So, you have to see the platform of Krishna consciousness is absolute platform. It's so wonderful to be on that platform. We want to reach that platform of Krishna consciousness where there is no misery. But don't think you chanting Hare Krishna, you're going to be exempt from miseries of life. Devotees, we have more misery than anybody. After you chant Hare Krishna, sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to become a sadhu and Hare Krishna, I'm not going to have any problems. Ekdam, Krishna is going to take care of me. He is. Krishna is taking care of us. But there's so much misery, so it reminds us of more of Krishna. You see the Pandavas, Kunti Devi, she said, oh Krishna, please give me those kleshas, those difficulties and problems that came so I can remember you. If everything is super good, we have Aram Sabha Jayga. We'll be sitting here and have a cup of coffee. We forget Krishna.
We're not that pure. Pure devotees, they're always thinking of Krishna. Happiness or distress. We are, I joined in India, in Mayapur, in the 70s. It was so austere. Then I lived in Calcutta temple. We lived in there on the roof of the temple. There's no private room. You just sleep wherever, on the roof. They put a mosquito net and sleep. That's it. And then sometime in the middle of the night, a big rat will come. They bite on your feet. They chew on your fingernails. Big rats. In Calcutta, it's a very old city. There's a lot of mouse or rats running around. They come at night. And that was before. Maybe they have better ashram now. In Mayapur, sometimes you go to the toilet, there's a snake in there. In the early days. You don't know what's coming. And with Hare Krishna. Up till, since the 70s till now, no devotees were bitten by a snake and died. Because Krishna protects us. And a devotee stepped on a snake. He thought it was a bicycle tire. Snake. But, like the other day, Prahlad Maharaj's story, you know. So, Krishna is always taking care of his devotees. We are the one who are getting so much anxiety. Oh, I need this, I need that. Like millions of desires in our heart. Krishna always takes care of us. Don't worry. Srila Prabhupada, he was so faithful to Krishna. He had nothing. Prabhupada went to America with nothing. $1, 40 rupees, not even that now. Inflation. But he was happy, quite happy chanting Hare Krishna. Under a tree. I remember we had a Harinam down in St. Kilda last year. And we got tired from moving around. So I said, let's sit under this tree. There's a park. And we sat just in front of the Luna Park. It was so nice. We were like Vrindavan. We were all sitting, chanting under the tree. And everyone felt like no miseries. Just phew. We felt completely satisfied. And we were all sitting there and chanting. So we need to experience that. To experience Krishna consciousness is that you need to be aware of yourself. Krishna consciousness is full of consciousness. Just like when you're doing yoga. It's not that you're doing exercise like a machine. Big muscle building, bodybuilding. It's not that. One guy said, you know, I do yoga, I have a stomach very tight. You can punch, you break your arm. I said, that's not the purpose of yoga, to make your stomach so tight. It's illusion. So, you need to create an awareness. You need to feel yourself. I can explain to you so much about Krishna consciousness. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, when you're doing the puja, when you're cooking, any service you do, you need to experience that yourself, how you are doing it. That experience, you need to be aware of yourself. You have to be conscious of Krishna consciousness. I cannot tell you so much. Instructions are there. So, when you practice Krishna consciousness, we have to feel that pleasure of devotional service. Some devotees say, I'm doing for many years. I don't feel it. When one of the acharyas, they're eating mahaprasadam, and he just threw a little bit of it from his hand into the pond. He just, Ramanujacharya, right? He was eating mahaprasadam and he threw a little bit in the pond. You know, like here in Melbourne, you see a lot of birds, you know, pigeons. And they're always eating prasadam. They're so fat, they can't hardly fly. Because they're eating. So he threw this mahaprasadam into the pond and the fish ate. Instantly, they got forearm form. And they flew off. In front of the disciple. Everybody saw. Oh, we are eating every day too much mahaprasadam. I didn't see anybody flying off with forearms. Because Krishna consciousness means to be create an awareness in us. The awareness is that we are taking pleasure in chanting. We are taking pleasure in associating with each other. inspiring each other in Krishna consciousness. So that inspiration comes by you cultivating love for Krishna. We are not pulling out the weeds. We are cultivating love for Krishna. At the same time, the weeds are also growing on the side. They are choking us. So the desire grow. Material desire, they grow. I remember when I first came to Sydney in the 80s, I just left India. I thought everybody in Australia, they're all like Hare Krishna devotees. Because I never saw the white man not chanting Hare Krishna in India. I came here, there's only white man, they're not chanting Hare Krishna. So I was like perplexed. So I brought Midanga with me and everything, my own. And then the guy said, what are you doing here? What do you want? And I said, I'm Hare Krishna, I'm going to meet you guys a devotee. I'm here to preach Krishna consciousness. I'm a preacher, I'm Hare Krishna. They all knew Hare Krishna. So really, yeah. So my friend's waiting for me outside. That's the temple president. So he picked me up in this car, and in India we drive very slowly. You don't go like more than 60, because the roads, the buffalo and the rickshaws and the people and everything. You can't go too fast. So he was going too fast. He said, you have to put seat belts. I said, can you slow down? I feel like vomiting. Because in India we go very slowly. He said, no, this is Australia, we go very fast. I said, what's the need to go so fast? He said, no, here's 120, you can't go slower than that. Because people here are rushing, you know. And I was so, I think this is complete Maya here. I thought Mayapur is the place to be, and Vrindavan. This is not the place to be Krishna conscious. And everywhere you look, it's just Maya. So much Maya. And I went to the temple, and it's like, you know, we're brahmacharis, and there was like, you know, full of Maharajis, 50%. And then they said, you know, you chant Hare Krishna, focus on Krishna. And everyone's like, what to do? So 3 days later, I said, you know, Prabhu, I want to go back to India, because this is not the place for me. So then they said, you go on Harinam every day. So they gave me a group of boys. I said, I'll go Harinam every day. And that's how I got it. I liked it, because I like Krishna consciousness. And that time was different. So we'd have Harinam, and then we would go for a swim. I said, I don't want to swim. There's too many Maya there. Everywhere you go, there's... So how to become Krishna conscious? Krishna consciousness is not an artificial thing. We need to be Krishna conscious wherever we are. We have to train our mind to be Krishna conscious in the midst of difficulty. That's the test. In the mandira, yeah, I know. Krishna here, everyone's devotee, very nice. We can sing. When you go out, that's the test. You walk out of this temple, 197 Bank Street, and you get in your car and you go to the street. Here's not so bad, like if you're in LA, New York, and a big cities like that, or maybe Sydney. It's so much materialization. And people don't like us so much. There goes the Haris, the Hare Krishnas. Get them! You know? Sometimes it's very dangerous to walk in a dhoti. I mean, I came here in the 80s, it's so dangerous. We went to Harinam, we had 20 of us, 50 of them attack us. And we were all on the ground. Everybody said, hey, the Hare Krishnas, get them all. They're dogs. They're kicking us, beating us. You know, yeah. They're Hare Krishnas. It was so difficult for even to chant Hare Krishna at that time. Well, we have a good name now. Yeah, so Krishna is always with us if we are serious about Krishna. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, are we seriously chanting like Dhruva Maharaj? So determined. This word here, determined. The word determined. Here you go. The word determined, brata. We take a pious vow. We take a vow. So, we've all taken a vow to serve Krishna. No maya, I want to chant Hare Krishna. No material desire, no nonsense. From today, I'm going to serve Krishna. From today, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, no intoxication. They are the four pillars of sin. Four pillars of sin. So, sinful activity is these things. You give up. That's a vow. You take a vow. This, what's his name? Bhishma Dev. He took a vow, said, I'm going to be brahmachari. And then there's flower from the sky falling on his head. Because he's so powerful. Vrata. The demigod shower flowers. We take the vow, we didn't lay any flower on us. So determined, he took the vow. Lifelong brahmachari. And all the brothers just ran away. Everybody has service. So, if we're going to be strong Krishna conscious devotee, it's not, the purpose is not to become a sannyasi or a grihastha or a brahmachari. Our idea is to develop love for Krishna. Cultivate our love for Krishna. But the process, ashram, they help us to go to that level. So we have a system. Brahmachari, grihastha, vanapas, sannyas. So, take it seriously. Take the vow to serve Krishna. Krishna will be very happy. If you please Krishna, don't think that nobody is watching you. And no one's going to pat on your back and they are not going to glorify you. But Krishna is watching us. You just want Krishna to be pleased and Guru. They're always with us. Krishna is in our heart. So wherever we go, we always have to make sure that we are focusing on Krishna. Our mind, manmanabhava madbhakta, think of me, Krishna says, become my devotee, worship me. That's a devotee. For Dhruva Maharaj, he was always thinking of Krishna. That's why Krishna came to him. Doesn't matter, he desires a universe. Krishna gives to his devotee. Because Srila Prabhupada used to say, if we got $1 million, we can use it in one day. In a millions way you can use it for preaching Krishna consciousness. If Srila Prabhupada sometime was giving a lecture, he had thousands of dollars in his hand. And he waving at people and talking about Krishna. So if people came and said, hey, Sadhu holding all this money. But he's not attached to it. So if we're not Krishna conscious, we think, wow. A devotee can be sleeping on money, because he knows, he uses the bed. He doesn't care. He uses the money to serve Krishna. All is Krishna's property. So, we have to be on that platform. Purity is the force. If we're not pure, we get attracted to material things. At once. Oh yeah, I'll be chanting Hare Krishna, I'll be, no problem. My account, boom, we're gone. We're at the door. We're being tested. How Krishna conscious we are. Dhruva Maharaj is lucky because he is a son of, you know, great person. But we are just as fortunate because we're in Kali Yuga. We have Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna. We are just as fortunate because we don't have to go to the forest, we don't have to meditate, we can just chant Hare Krishna, have a big kirtan in the temple. We can just go on Harinam. Harinam is very important. Every time we have Harinam, it's always the same people coming out. Everyone need to come out and Harinam. This is Yuga Dharma for this age. If you go and chanting on the street Hare Krishna, millions, thousands of people in the street, they are watching you, they are hearing the holy name. spreading the glory. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did it. So if we take pleasure in spreading the glories of Krishna, you will be blessed by Krishna. In the temple we do it, we also need to go out and do it. This is why I go out whenever I can. It's very, very pleasing. And at the end, devotees are so happy, they can't stop laughing. And some of them just stay on. And they say, Harinam Ruchi. You know, Ruchi means they got taste for it. They're in Melbourne every day. Well, they were quite tired, actually. I went out one day with Harinam Ruchi, they were like, day and night. I said, give me. I took over, I was like, because I'm not going out every day. And then there was this black voice from Africa. They said, wow. And they have more, their body is different than us. They have a bit more energy somehow. So they were like, they were also tired, you know. I said, I've never seen African or that kind of people tired. They all are like full of energy. So how come you guys are like... So then they came here, and I said, I'll cook for you. So I made sure the prasadam was really rich. You know, like paneer, every subject had paneer. I said, you guys said, I'll serve you. And they were eating, you know, maybe they didn't have prasadam with nutrition enough. And so then I said, go out now, and you'll feel more energy. So then, you know, we go out, we need to emphasize on chanting. People are watching us. They're going, looking at the buildings and here and there. You won't relish Krishna consciousness. You have to focus, you have to put your mind to it. Like they say, Australians say, get a job. They have a word, they say, something, get back to work. But our real work is to serve Krishna, isn't it? Every time we chant Hare Krishna, every time we sing and dance, it's not a new thing. Every time we're doing, it's for the 100th time. I've been here like 30 years. Every time is fresh. How is it? That's transcendental, that's spiritual. Every time is not new. Every time is something new about it. It's not all, it's old but it's new, ever fresh. So if you're chanting Hare Krishna, sit down here, thinking, I'm going to, from 5 o'clock, Mangala Arati is over, sit down. Not going to get up here till 7 o'clock. And then start painting after 1 hour here, and start here, and you will go out, and say, oh, I feel thirsty, right? You guys come and bother us, pull our shirt, you know? And then this happened, that happened, then somebody opens the door, and so many things. We're not focused, we're disturbed. So when you take vow, no, nothing going to disturb me. That's strength. Strength is not in the muscle. Yeah, I pick up 5 medanga in one hand, or bhagara pusharam. It's not that. Strength is in your mind. Krishna conscious strength, spiritual strength, sadhu sangha comes from spiritual associating with devotees, from chanting. Every time you chant Hare Krishna, relish it like you are chewing on it. Hare Krishna. You feel blissful, isn't it? Then I know one devotee who is chanting japa, he will Hare Krishna, like eating Krishna, but really relishing it. And he has, I don't know, it was Delhi temple. He faced his head against the wall. He said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I said, Prabhu, turn around. You break your head on the wall when you close your eyes. And he said, it's a good idea because you may fall asleep, so you have to be really full on. Whatever it is, we need to program ourselves in such a way that we are attentive to chanting Hare Krishna. Attentiveness. Attentiveness comes when you're actually relishing it. But sometimes you don't have the relishing, you're just doing it out of duty. Oh, I have to do it. But it doesn't matter. As long as you do your duty, gradually you relish Krishna consciousness. So I was thinking, I'm going to stay here last night. And they said, I was talking to Ashram, there's no place. And last time I stayed in one of the rooms, they had all the windows closed and very hot in there, no air. And some of them were snoring, I was gassy, and a lot of things. I said, I'm not staying there. So they said, so I was thinking, I go up there, every room was open upstairs, but don't use them, because that's only for guests. The rooms are open. So there's, the bed is so comfortable, you lie on it, your body just goes down. I said, I wish I slept in the ashram. It's more comfortable in the ashram because, you know, you can sleep well. So material world is always troubling us. You can't even sleep. I said, oh, what the heck? I woke up 2 o'clock. Take a shower, I came here at 3:30, light was on. The Prabhu was opened the door. And he said, I'll open the door for you at 3:30. I said, no. I mean, when the deity get out, I go in the temple. He said, no. It's like people are waiting. And they're like, when you want to be Krishna conscious, Krishna will facilitate you to serve Him in every way. Like devotee is waiting for you, Krishna is waiting for you. Srila Prabhupada went to America. It wasn't difficult for him, because they're already waiting for him there. As he sat under the tree, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Kirtananda, they're all just waiting for him. Like as if Krishna sent them there. So if we have a strong desire to serve Krishna, Krishna will arrange for it, to make sure that everything's going to be okay for you. Like if I'm going to give you a house and a car and everything, I'm going to serve you, you will make all arrangements to make sure I'm okay. Right? You may be friend unknowingly. You may be send some friend to make sure I'm okay. So if I'm going to serve Krishna, Krishna will arrange that I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. He'll send demigods in the form of hippie or whatever. He'll take care of me. I'm sure. I have that kind of faith. We don't need to worry. I lived in China 10 years. I didn't speak Chinese. But I had more students in my class than the local teacher. And I asked them, they said, because I said, I don't care who you are, Chinese or Western, I'm going to speak English. Because they write the class, this English-speaking yoga classroom, they're Chinese-speaking. It's all Chinese, but so I said, I'm going to speak English. So everybody was coming to my class. So everybody wanted to hire me because I spoke English, because they want to learn English, not the yoga, whatever. So you can see, Krishna always takes care of His devotees. If you want a universe from Krishna, no problem. Poof, He'll give you a universe. If you want a subdued paneer, you end up in Melbourne Temple. Everything Krishna will arrange. If you want to go back to Godhead, here's the place. And you want to be happy with eating gulab jamun, you can be here next life. The devotees keep making for you. But don't worry, Krishna has everything is there in the spiritual world. The material world is only the reflection of the spiritual world. We have it here because we have it in the spiritual world. It's only a little bit here. The real thing is up there. So don't become enamored by the material world. Before I was supposed to go to America before I came to Australia. So, and my teacher used to say, he's from New York, Dhananda Maharaj, he used to say, America, he used to say so many good things. And then they'd bring this, my friend, the kids, they would come back from school holiday, from New Vrindavan. They'd bring burfi, big thing of burfi. In an aluminium foil. And they would distribute to all the Indian boys who were sitting around and said, wow, from America, wow, you know. And I came here, there's burfi, so nobody want to eat. There's so much here. So, you want material things, is easily available. What's not available is Krishna consciousness. So we are really lucky. Everything is here materially. We are fed up with it, we don't want it. We want spiritual things. We have to get to that platform, that we want to spit out material thing, but we want spiritual activities that cultivate in our heart, that's so loving and so new and fresh, that's what we want. That's what we are getting here. Material pleasure is there, available in the hogs and dogs. You give a nice halwa to the hog, they will not eat it. They will roll around the ground with dust or all rubbish, then they will eat it. They don't appreciate. So we need to appreciate Krishna consciousness. He's so blissful. Learn to appreciate. Understand through knowledge. This is so blissful. This is what I want. I want to go back to Godhead. They had a song Ramayana Maharaj used to sing. I want to go back to Gokul. Yeah, yeah. And they sing that and they play the drum. So we have to actually understand that spiritual activity, serving Krishna, going to the spiritual world is what we are here for. That should be our real ambition. That's what we're here for. To go back to our home, back to Godhead. They're always writing, back to Godhead. We just say it like, oh yeah, back to Godhead. But we didn't understand what it means. And that comes through serving, comes through chanting, associating the devotees, cultivating it in our heart, and the ruchi, taste for it. If you don't have the taste for it, it just rubs off very quickly, just on the surface. Dive into it. Relish Krishna consciousness. And material thing comes, I don't care, I don't want that. Maya is easy to give up. It's material, Krishna's energy. We can give up material things easily because Krishna says by experiencing higher taste, one can give up the lower taste. That's the purport of this verse, actually. And Dhruva Maharaj got that. He saw Krishna. Immediately, you see the beautiful form of Radha and Krishna. We don't want to see anything else. That's it. They are the emblem. They are the ultimate form. You know, we sing in the morning, Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vacha. You know the song we sing. He's Govinda, the original person. He's playing on his flute. He's so beautiful. Shamashundar. The three-fold bending form. Playing on his flute in the Golok Vrindavan. So beautiful. There's no comparison of anything in the material world when you look at Krishna. And they dress the deity so nicely. In India, you go to some of the temples, they don't have such opulent dresses. They dress very, some of the temples, they dress Radha Krishna dhoti and sari in Gauri Math. Here we have so opulent. It's to attract people. Krishna is already beautiful, but he's giving us a chance to serve them, address them. And I came here in the 80s, and I used to dress, don't tell anybody, otherwise I have to be in the DD room. So dress Jagannath, DD before. Yeah. And the head pujari was a devotee from UK, Siddha Deha Prabhu. He taught me how to dress. He said he put the flower here, and he put a pin through, and here, and a turban like that. And I said, well, it makes sense. It's so beautiful. And they have this big cushion thing before he put, and he put that over the head, and then he put the cloth and the turban. So when he put the pin through, it doesn't touch his head. It's very wonderful to dress the deity. It's a meditation. This is why Prabhupada used to say, those who serve the deity, they're addressing God. They're with Krishna. They're close to Krishna. Yeah. It's 9:15. I'm following the example of our temple president, because he finishes at 9. Finish a little bit early. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
There's no doubt that Krishna looks after his devotees.
Yes.
It's a fundamental truth. But still the mind is always anxious and for no rhyme or reason. You know, it's just the mind is always anxious and there's anxiety. First question is, what gives birth to anxiousness? And second question is, what gives birth to this anxiousness?
Uh-huh.
And second is, how to eradicate that?
Well, the thing is, if we are devotee, doesn't mean that we are free from desires. We are struggling with our mind, even as devotees. And that is the good thing. If, like I said before, like if we are completely pure and everything is going well, then we... But it's not that... It's just like Prabhupada gave the example of the fan. You turn the fan off, it still goes on for a while. It's moving. Even after you turn it off, it's still going around. So we taking the shelter of Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, still the desire is coming because our mind is the same mind that we had for millions of births. So sometimes the mind keeps bringing back desires that we had from past life. We're dreaming. So it's a struggle. It's not going to be so easy to just be chanting Hare Krishna immediately. We're not that pure. Pure devotees, they are pure by birth. We are conditioned souls. For us, everything is difficult. But like Aniruddha Prabhu was saying the other day, it's life full of problems. It's not going to be easy. But that is the good thing. So we can take shelter of Krishna fully and catch onto his lotus feet. Take shelter of the holy name. This is the process to eradicate. There's no other way. The materialistic people say, no, let it go. Let it come in your mind. And really should enjoy it. Now that's going to drive us crazy. If your mind says, jump off the wall, do this, do that, you will go nuts. Yoga teaches, Krishna consciousness teaches, fill the mind with Krishna consciousness. You cannot satisfy the mind, but you can make the mind your friend by engaging the mind in Krishna service. Isn't it? So, it's difficult. Nothing's going to be easy. But when we put ourselves in front of Krishna and taking shelter of the process, execute the process, then it becomes easy. There's a verse which says, a devotee can cross over an ocean. No need to swim. That would be easy, huh? He says, the ocean shrinks to the size of a hoofprint of a calf. You can easily cross over. Easily said than done. But Krishna says, because he reduces those problems. He says, oh, so much karma. Just claps the hand in front of the deity. Karma's poof, gone, burnt away. Millions of karma in our life. Krishna can purify us instantly. So we don't have to worry. Worry is not mind. Mind is telling us, oh my God, I need this, I need that. It's all in our mind. Mind game. Just let it go. Serve Krishna. Let Krishna worry. That's what Krishna says. Serve me, I'll take care of you. Don't worry. But because we don't take shelter of Krishna, we take shelter of material things, those things become prominent in us. Then they give us headache. Then we have family, we have children, we have school, this, we need money, this, that. It's just going on and on. You know, this guy is a brahmachari, no problem. Live so happily. In the ashram, so nice, get up, nobody... That's the opulent. Even people who have material things, they'll tell you, Shanti. They go to Mayapur, leave Calcutta. I want some peace of mind. They get away from family. But when we are in the temple, also we shouldn't think that, now I have found Krishna. I don't have anxiety. No. It's always there, anxiety is there, but we're not taking shelter of that. We take shelter of Krishna. We go out to work. We're not associating with karmis. We are there, but we're not touched by it. Like Krishna says, like a lotus in the water, is not touched by it. Water just drifts off, slides off the leaf. We're working in the material world. These guys here, Mangalati, then Guru Puja, then out to work. Because they had program, they are serious. They're not going to be touched by Maya. Their mind is in Krishna, even though they're associating with karmis in the material world. That's why spiritual life, Krishna consciousness is very important. The sadhana that keeps us like a battery, charging it. If you don't have that, Every day you earn, you'll get Maya easily. See? So, Maya is not there. We bring onto us. Come, come, come. You are running for it. But actually there's no Maya. It's illusory. We go for Maya. The trouble is not there. We are looking for trouble. And then we embrace the trouble. Here's the place. It's a trouble-free place. But how many people are here? Everyone is going there to get the trouble. They love the trouble. They love it, actually. So when we're here, we have to be in that feeling that I'm here to cultivate love for Krishna. I'm searching for Krishna. So then we are always in that mood of searching Krishna. Even if we didn't get, we are getting it, but we should be having that mood of searching. You know, in every move we make here is to become Krishna conscious. If you don't have that mood, then we get drift off into Maya easily. Like I said before, you turn into Maya and Krishna. Tug of war. Have faith in Krishna. Krishna will protect you. Krishna created this material world. He created the Maya, material energy. He can also protect us from it, provided that we take shelter of Krishna. That is up to us. We can stay in the material world forever and work hard, make a living, and build a place and have a peaceful life. No such thing as peaceful life in the material world. But you try to, no problem. And then you find out, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, where is the mandir? And you run to Krishna after some time. Because that place is full of unhappiness. The temples, there's no problem here. Once in a while we get some nuts, crazy, come in here. But actually it's a nice place. You know? And they see us very peaceful, they want to chant Hare Krishna, very peaceful. They see, I was here on Sunday, hundreds of people here, Sunday feast. And then the two policemen came here. And they're just like devotees. And then before you know it, they had two big plates of prasadam. They didn't have time to do anything, just woofing it on the prasadam. Oh yeah, really good. What is that, Indian food, yeah, I love it. Yeah. So anybody that come here, they will be free from any difficulty. There is difficulty seemingly. There is no difficulty. It's all in the mind. We need to approach Krishna with that heart, full of for Krishna. And we feel that. If you don't have that feeling, then we are affected by material. People come here, they talk about business, family. No, we come here to talk about Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Then you'll feel. Even when we're in the temple, in the mandir, they will be still afflicted by Maya if their mind is not set on Krishna. That goes for us too, as devotees. And doing puja, thinking, when's going to be finished so I can go have prasadam. Even when in Krishna. So you see, the whole thing here, we are here to train. This is a training place. In Mayapur, some time ago, they had we were attacked by the Mohammedans, and then they the Bengal government they said we will make the Hare Krishna temple Mayapur into a hospital. They take away from us, they want to turn into a hospital. And Prabhupada, he said, yes, it's already a hospital. Because we are purifying people for material life, giving them spiritual life. It's already a hospital. And they said, oh yeah, okay, makes sense. Okay? Yes, Prabhu.
I saw you a few times in Hong Kong, very peaceful.
Oh yeah?
Very happy, I see.
Hey, did you ever see me unhappy or?
But now my daughter is there, she says, it's very crowded, no place to go in the temple. So crowded.
Yeah, Hong Kong is like that. It's a very small place. And because now they opened up the mainland, so more Chinese coming. So they just fill up the place. Yeah. But there, everywhere in the shopping, the temples, nobody there. You go to the temple, it's a very small place, so it's very crowded.
Yeah.
Yeah. You walk in the Hong Kong street, I said before, you have to walk sideways, where there's so many people. Yeah. Yes?
You were talking about serving. How do you develop that service attitude?
Service attitude. You can only find out by doing service. Like, if I give a class, oh yeah, service, you didn't experience, then I can talk, it becomes a lip service, I'm just saying, theoretically. But if you want to experience what's the pleasure of service, you have to do it. There's one girl in China, she used to say, I said, when you have a nice clean house, and everything, you will feel very peaceful, and you will feel a sense of a spiritualism in your mind. She said, how is that possible? Clean the home? Everybody clean home. I said, no. So I went to her home, I said, your home is messy. You take off one day, on a weekend, you clean the house with a hand. Get down on the floor, clean everything. Take everything off, dust. So she did that. And then, next day she said, oh, I felt really good, so clean, I feel really peaceful. I said, that's just the beginning. So when you have your own place you live, very clean and very paka everything, put away, no dust. You work to make everything clean and you put away and you cook nice food. You feel good. It's like spiritualism. Cleanliness is next to godliness, they say. So service attitude is when you, first of all, when you have a very clean place, yourself where you live, like when you come to temple and you sweep, and you just do a little bit of service, just sweep, and you feel good. Oh, I feel so good. Because Krishna reciprocates. He gives you blessing, some mercy. You know, people here in Melbourne, and I asked one guy, I met him in the train, he said he has a PhD degree, he came from India, and he went to university, and he got a big degree. I said, where are you going now? I said, oh, I have a cleaning job. Because he didn't get a job after so many years. But he said that he's very happy when he does the cleaning. There's toilet here, and there's just cleaning, and he feels good. Because menial service, humble service, makes us humble, even not spiritually. But that attitude makes, it's the beginning step of Krishna consciousness. It puts us on the level of humility. Then when you chant Hare Krishna, you're already humble. So even if it's material, but as devotees, we can understand. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, humility is the key principle, like a garland that you wear around your neck piece. Humility. So how that comes? We have to know how small we are. How Krishna is so big. Everything is Krishna's energy. He is all-pervading. And when you do service, you feel fantastic. In that attitude, so through knowledge, you have to cultivate knowledge, then you do service, then it will come. It's not just artificial thing. People are cleaning all the time. They don't have the attitude. They say, I finish the job and get out. But for Krishna, we have to cultivate knowledge. How Krishna is so beautiful, how is so big. You have to understand Krishna's position and our relationship with Krishna as we are small. Then we become humble, and when we do service in the attitude, we will feel the blessing of Krishna. So it's a kind of mercy. So, but we need to do it. Serve prasadam. Before I used to never want to serve prasadam. This guy all sitting there and I want to serve. So I give them boom, boom, boom. Serve the khichdi on their plate. Bang. I don't even want to serve. Bang. I don't have the attitude. You know, you guys serve me actually. Every time I have to serve. And I said, give me more. Said, you don't have the attitude. I didn't ever feel like happy to serve the devotees. But we have to develop that, you know, Prabhu, you know, attitude. You have to have the proper attitude, spiritual understanding. It comes. Then you'll feel good about it. But if you don't have that, the proud takes us, ego takes, then, if you don't like it, don't eat it. You know what I mean? So attitude has to come from knowledge. Yeah. Chanting Hare Krishna. You don't want to eat. I'm not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. And let me serve the Vaishnavas. By their mercy I can cultivate my spiritual life. That attitude. It doesn't come easy. Because we are, our heart is full of ego now. Serving you. Nobody wants to serve, I go up there, I don't serve, but I also don't eat, so it's okay. If I eat, then I should serve. So I didn't eat it, so. Any more? Yes. Yeah.
But I'm aware of the importance of serving it in a nice attitude, because that's what gives people the good experience, is being served nicely.
Exactly.
So what would you say is the minimum requirement for delivering quality service, showing on a plate for someone? You've got to give some kind of semblance of like your welcome here.
So a lot of the time, like I was talking about before, we also need to have observant of ourselves. We need to observe everything. Not others, we're observing others, observing ourselves, how we are conducting ourselves to others and receptive to others, dealing with others. This is a Vaishnava etiquette. How we say Hari Bol, and it's not just say something, actually serve them, iron their clothes. If you don't like them, do it with respect. Sometimes we have to force ourselves. Tired is not the excuse. Oh, I'm so tired. I can't chant my rounds. We never say that when it's time to eat. Oh, I'm tired to eat. So, like I said to the Prabhu here, everything comes from knowledge. Understanding. So when you chant Hare Krishna, when you read the books, when you associate devotees, we become automatically humble. You see, temple full of devotees, sannyasis, we go to Mayapur, and we see ourselves tiny. I'm just a bhakta from Melbourne. You know what I mean? Or somewhere. Then you feel, that's why Sadhu Sangha is very important, because that gives puts us on that level. By seeing others, we become. But if we don't associate, we will not feel that way. So association is very important. And how we associate with each other. I am better than you. None of that attitude. It would be Vaishnava attitude. Everyone's very respectful, others humble. Not artificially, but through knowledge. That Vaishnava's mercy, by the mercy of the gurus, I am able to serve Krishna. This is the process actually. When you get by the blessing of Vaishnava and the gurus, we can get the mercy of Krishna. Because Krishna, he sees his devotees as prime principle. Through the Vaishnavas, we can know Krishna. Via media of guru, via media of Vaishnavas. So if we displease the Vaishnavas and gurus, there's no question of pleasing Krishna. But that has to come from change of attitude. The best way that exemplify in our temples is by serving prasad. Everybody coming. Like yesterday, one guy, he was just guy said, I want those, he asked Prabhu, he said, those fudge, those brown fudge. Do you got any of that? Any of that? That's the burfi. And we had a big plate of burfi, and again, he was like, wow, he was relishing it. He didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness, but that taste, little bit of taste of Krishna consciousness. And we had it when he asked for it, as soon as we gave him. So we're there to receive. They can receive our blessing, Krishna's blessing, from the devotees. We could just say, nah, we don't have any, sorry, next time. Come back on the right time. Yeah. So we said, you got to live in the ashram to get that. That's only for the devotees. You're non-devotee, karmi. No, we can say, oh, no, let me see if you have any. Or give him something that's similar. Always there to give others Krishna consciousness as priority. Because it not only pleases him, it pleases Krishna. Because you are making Krishna famous. by giving him that offer, something that's offered to Krishna. So there's always connection to Krishna. So you've got to see Krishna's hand in everything, Krishna's connection. Otherwise it just becomes a mundane thing. Oh yeah, good on you, thank you. No, this material, you know what I mean? Respect, material respect. But you have to connect them with Krishna, Krishna consciousness. Vaishnava etiquette is spiritual, it's different than just mundane respect each other. Table manner, different things. And we eat with hands, but it's so dynamic, how you pick up the food, how you put it in the mouth. It's very nice, it's cultural. People want to learn that. Then you just, So, everything has its uniqueness. When you do it in a unique, it becomes attractive. And I don't take the food out. That's not attractive. You take it very nicely, gentle, sit nicely, and you... Very attractive. People like it. Okay. Sorry. Any other questions? Yes. Extra time today. Yeah. I don't know.
What is the question?
Can you say loudly? Because I also didn't get it. Loudly. Stand up, maybe.
So Suruchi was a bit rude to Dhruva.
Yeah.
Louder.
And Suniti, she went to Vaikuntha. So, what happened to Suruchi?
No. I see that even Suruchi also part of the story. They're all connected. Because Suruchi said, you're not the son from her womb, your mother, someone else. So she offended him. That's why he became upset, and that's why he went to Suniti. And that's why Suniti said, you can find God, you can ask him, he's in the forest. So she started him off. So she's connected. So if he upset me, he say, you nonsense, Prabhupada, you get out of this temple. Then I'd be so hurt, then I go to Guru Maharaj. Then he'll say, So somehow he's connecting to me, to Krishna. Then you become, even though you hurt me, but you turn me to Krishna, somehow. Conformed. Always see reason behind everything. There is always a reason. And this, anything stories in the Bhagavatam, they're meant for our learning. That's why the stories are there. If she was full of angry and everything, I get angry every day, it's not in the Bhagavatam. I want to hurt people. But because this is have a connection to Krishna, this story is illustrated in the Bhagavatam. So everything has a reason. So she is also part of the story. She's also turning him to go to the forest. So she's also a type of a guru. Understand? So you gotta see it this way. So if somebody is angry with us, don't just get angry and start saying each other. It becomes a war. See things very cool-headedly and things will resolve nicely. See Krishna behind everything. What's this happening? Why is it happening? Why does this thing come up? That's kutta. That's like a dog. One dog. See things cool-headedly. I don't have a shaved head. That's the devotees have a shaved head, so they can be cool-headed. They can think properly. We gotta finish 9:15. Hare Krishna.